Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, Jabez's model prayer. In the last message, Dr. Beakey explained the covenantal foundation of this prayer and how it looks to God as a faithful, covenant-keeping God. Now he will open up the fourfold request that Jabez presents to the Lord, as well as God's gracious answer. As you listen to this message, may the Spirit of God open up your heart to listen to God's word and to become a man or woman of prayer.
Now it's out of this foundation that Jabez then has this fourfold request in his prayer. The first request is, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." Jabez is looking for blessing more than anything else. He's not content to live out of the covenant of nature here for external blessings. No doubt he implies those, but he wants to live out of the covenant of grace, the foundation itself. It's as if he says, "Lord, fulfill that thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Bless me indeed. Bless me truly." Literally in Hebrew, blessing, bless me. And that repetition means, bless me indeed, bless me in truth, bless me in the inner parts, bless me covenantally, bless me with the blessing of Abraham. Genesis 17 that we've read to you. See, the great blessing of the covenant to Abraham was, "I will both bless thee and thou shalt be a blessing." That's what Jabez wants. Bless me and let me be a blessing, Lord. Is that what you want? Is that your prayer when you get up in the morning? Oh, bless me today and let me be a blessing. Bless me with spiritual peace and spiritual plenty and spiritual prosperity and spiritual revival and spiritual refreshment and spiritual enlargement and spiritual sanctification. Bless me with the gift of Jesus Christ. And then bless me with the gifts of his benefits that flow out of him. That's a good way to come with spiritual petitions. Begin with that one. Oh, bless me indeed. Blessing, bless me. Hebrew, when you double something like that, you aim for the heart. You aim for, it means like underlining it, putting it in italics. I want the real thing, the real blessing. And then secondly, enlarge my coasts. Enlarge my coasts. So in a way, he's asking here for material things, isn't he? He first asks for spiritual depth, but then he's asking for material things as well, just like the same order in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread comes after several spiritual petitions. And so on prayer day, we ask for farmers to be blessed. We ask, as you heard in the prayer, that our work would be blessed this year. We ask for all kinds of outward blessings. It's perfectly appropriate, even though it's secondary. But it's perfectly appropriate. God promised Abraham, "In blessing I will bless thee, and I will give thee the nations of the world." It wasn't just spiritual. That was physical as well. And Jabez now pleads on this covenant-keeping God of Israel to bestow upon him such blessings. But these two first petitions, of course, are tied together. And so as he prays for spiritual benediction, it's not as if when he prays, "Enlarge my coasts," he's only thinking, give me bigger and better things in this world and prosper my work or other things of like nature. No, he's also praying this spiritually too. enlarge my spiritual coasts. Give me more daily repentance, more a sense of my daily forgiveness, more a sense of daily communion with thee. Help me to grow in the knowledge of the Messiah. Deuteronomy 19 verse 8 puts it this way, the Lord God enlarge thy coast as he has sworn unto thy fathers. The idea was there was that Israel's coast would be enlarged to embrace the promised land of Canaan. Literally embedded in that promise, however, was ultimately the heavenly Canaan. That's why our Puritan forefathers used to say, when you plead for God's blessing and plead for his promises, remember, you are filing suit with God to do as he has said and to give you those spiritual and temporal blessings that he delights to shower upon his people. And yet there's something more here. Israel was to enter into holy war to destroy the Canaanites. And then the Lord promised to enlarge their coasts. And Jabez is perfectly aware, painfully aware, that many Canaanites are still in the land, especially in the land of his own heart, but also literally in the land that God would give to Israel. And so when he's praying, enlarge my coasts, he's actually saying on two levels, Lord, help me to get rid of all the Canaanites inside of me. Give me strength to overcome sin, every indwelling sin, to put it to death, but also give me strength to push out the Canaanites that are destroying the land. And you see, that's a holy war that God called Israel to fight. And Jabez is grieved that Israel is not sending the Canaanites out of the land. And Israel's problem was they were making peace with the Canaanites. And time again, they were flirting with worshiping, and sometimes actually did worship the gods of the Canaanites. And so Jabez says, oh God, please don't let this happen. Enlarge my coasts in my own heart, in the nation. Help us to put away sin, the Canaanites in the land. Oh, that my head, like Jeremiah cries, were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. But then thirdly, Jabez prays, and that thy hand might be with me. That thy hand might be with me. You see, he saw that real prayer demands repentance and reformation. He feels his weakness for the battle. He knows he can't do it. He can't do it without the hand of God. He knows he can't put out all those Canaanites inside and outside without God's enabling hand, without God confirming what David said. He teaches my fingers to war and my hands to fight. I need his hand on my hand. You feel that too, experientially in your life? I trust you do. You need God's hands on your hands, steering the ship of your life. Remember that story, boys and girls? One of the Building on the Rock books, I think it is, where a dad showed his boy how to steer, put him behind the wheel of the ship. And the boy was heading for the rocks, but his dad came around behind him and put his hands over his hands. And the boy was steering, but the dad was the one really steering. And you see, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit enters our lives and he steers us and guides us, even as we have our hand on the wheel. But he's the one by his hand that goes with us and keeps us from self-destructing, from capsizing on the rocks. And oh, the hand of God is so great. Really, there's a whole sermon just in this, thy hand. There's a whole sermon. Thy humbling hand, thy empowering hand, thy upholding hand, thy directing hand, thy converting hand, thy controlling hand, thy firm hand. Hand of God is full of metaphorical symbolism of all the benefits of salvation. No man shall pluck thee out of my hand, nor out of my Father's hand. Look at my hands and see the wounds for my friends. The whole Bible is full of it. They bound Jesus' hands in Gethsemane so that he could set his people free. Oh, that thy hand would bless me. It's so simple, and yet so profound. If you're in the hand of God, in the hand of God's favor, you're safe. You're safe. And finally, fourthly, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. There's really two things to notice here. First, evil, and the Hebrew word here is ra, which means affliction, adversity, distress, grief, wretchedness. It really means, help me to handle all my afflictions in such a way, whatever thou art pleased to send me. Help me to handle all my afflictions in such a way that I'm not grieved to the point of being overcome and overwhelmed personally, but that I may profit from it and bow under it. It's really a prayer in a sense for submission, for grace to handle whatever God sends. It's a prayer to come to the place of Psalm 119, verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Jabez doesn't want to go his own way. He wants to be under God's hand and God's way. You see, the worst punishment God can ever give us is to let us go our own natural way. That's even worse than God's judgments upon us. You know, we don't know what the future holds, do we? We don't know what the future of this church holds, or our Plymouth Christian schools, or the seminary, or our families, much less our nation. We don't know. The Lord could bring us into war this year. The incredible debt we now have, which has just gotten $15,000 larger yesterday for every human being in America through a $1.9 trillion bill. Will that consume us and overtake the economy? Will the economy collapse? We don't know. Will God deprive us of harvest? Will God's hand be so against us for our indifference to this horrific Holocaust of abortion that he will just abandon us to ourselves altogether? Will God send death into our home this year? Will God take the truth away from us? Will the freedom of worship be denied? We've seen a bit of that last year. Or worst of all, will the Lord just leave us over to ourselves, to total moral, spiritual bankruptcy? We don't know. But this we know, that there's peace in bowing under God. And as we bow under God, we plead that whatever he sends our way won't overcome us, but that we'll still worship him in true submission. That we'll, as God seems to come out against us as a great enemy, that we'll embrace him as a great friend, that we'll cling and cleave to him in all that he does. And then the second thing to notice about this petition, that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me, is this, that grieve is the same Hebrew root word as sorrow. In verse 9, the Dutch word is smarten, or smarta. Verse 9 is smarten, verse 10 is smarta. And what does that mean? Well, it means that this child of pain, this child of sorrow, this child of grief brings his own name before the Lord. Matthew Poole says it so profoundly. It's as if Jabez says, Lord, let me not have that grief which my name implies and which my sin deserves. Lift me this year. Lift me above myself, above my just desert, above the sorrow and pain of sin. Lift me higher. Lift me unto thee. From sin and sorrow, set me free. Free to live to thee. Free to live to thy glory. This is my prayer. Jabez would say. Four beautiful petitions, all grounded in the God of the covenant. By this God we can live. By this God we can die. Even if he doesn't answer our prayers. But sweet prayer, true prayer, does get answered. Bishop Hall said, good prayers never come weeping home. God will fulfill at his time, in his way, the petition. And that's what you read at the end of the verse. It's so simple. It's so beautiful. And God granted him that which he requested. Wow. Really? God granted all four petitions? Yes. To Jabez, unworthy Jabez? Yes. Why couldn't he do that for you? He can. He can. Ask to pray like Jabez and wait on God. Pray that God will beautifully, simply, powerfully, overwhelmingly answer your petitions as well. Jabez was blessed indeed, outwardly and inwardly. He's blessed with God and by God and in God and through God. And Jabez's coasts were enlarged, both temporally and spiritually. The text says God gave him what he requested. And Jabez experienced that God's hand was with him. He received strength to put the enemies to rout. And Jabez was granted true submission so that afflictions did not overwhelm him. All of this was fulfilled. You know, we sing often, our hope is on Jehovah stayed. In him our hearts are joyful made. Our help and shield is he. Our trust is in his holy name. Thy mercy, Lord, in faith we claim as we have hoped in thee. God's a prayer giving, prayer hearing, prayer answering God. God granted him. A grant is a gift. God graciously gave him in Jesus Christ, whom he forsook so that he might remember Jabez. Jesus Christ went without these consciousness of these things in the closing agonies of his life so that you and I, dear believer, could receive them. And Jabez too. The whole triune God is involved here. Through the merits and the intercession of the Son, he paves the way so that prayer can be answered. Prayer is just a wonderful cyclical experience. If you start at the top of the circle, the Father decrees all true prayer from eternity. It's then merited by the Son. The Son sends the Spirit to work it in our hearts so that we groan within ourselves, groanings that are unutterable, and our cries go back up to God, but back through the Son. And the Son takes them and sprinkles them with the salt of his own suffering and sanctifies them and then presents them pure and holy to the Father who answers them. And God granted him that which he requested. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Holy Spirit. Well, let me close this sermon with just three quick thoughts. Number one, if you're a believer, keep courage. Keep courage. Wait on the Lord. Your covenant God will not desert you. Jabez towered above his brethren because he clung to the God of Israel. You can have that too. You can be an example for others through your prayer life that maybe people don't even know, but they'll see the result in your life, your result of inner peace that passes all understanding, your result of external contentment that shows you're not like the world. And number two, pray for total submission to bow under God in all his dealings with you. Pray for growth in grace, for enlarged coasts. Pray that you may be cut off in self more and more so that you may be not just engrafted into Christ, but grow through that engrafting into him more and more and become more like him. And then finally, for those of you who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need this prayer life as well. And it's available. It's available. You need to pray to be kept from the greatest judgment of all, the hardening of heart. You need to see the character of God, who He really is. I have no desire in the death of the wicked, God says, but that the wicked will turn from his way and live. Don't become a victim of passive, ungodly submission, but bring your need to God. Come on the right foundation. Come with the right petitions and wait for God's gracious answer. He's willing to be your God and the God of your seed because He's a covenant-keeping God. Amen. Great God of heaven, we pray thy benediction upon this short time together tonight. And we ask that the sermons of this day may help us. Help us stop murmuring and help us to continue praying. And that our eyes may be upon thee, sitting at the right hand of the Father by the Spirit. And that thy eye, intercessory Savior, would be on us, teaching us to pray, helping us to stop murmuring, helping us to know in whatsoever state we are in, therewith to be content, and helping us to be a blessing in the earth. Help us to be a Jabez in the midst of confusion and disarray and near despair for so many millions who are grumbling, who are angry, who are complaining. Oh God, give us the spirit of Jabez. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, or to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God." May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live.